How many was fun? Our kids are fun, right? It's great to be a kid. What? Okay. Da, da, da. I am focused. Am I good? Somebody give me thumbs up. Oh, yeah. This is in scuba. We go. Okay, I'm good. Here we go. So I think I better pray. I'm all over the place. Father, I thank you for microphones. I thank you for people. I thank you for the dream team at YCF, man. They're just wonderful. Pastor Sherry and I love them. We call them blessed. And Father, I thank you that you have drawn hearts here this morning. And the kids gave us our first laughter and I know joy and stuff. But Lord, I know that your word, you have words. You have words that would bring life, encouragement, direction, and comfort today. And we say, Father, Holy Spirit, you just do what you do so well. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, back on track here. So how many of you love Christmas carols? Love Christmas carols. Who starts at Thanksgiving? Okay. I have one daughter that just gets so irritated about that. But, you know, I just love Christmas carols. I like the old classics. I like Bing Crosby, you know, just like that. And I like the new ones. I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I don't care. I just like just put them all on. And then, I, of course, you know, I like songs that are a little more spiritual. And this past week, I was listening, and I heard this song. It's by Hillsong. It came out a couple years back. It's called Prince of Heaven. Write it down, listen to it later. Prince of Heaven. And you know, when I was listening to that, I was thinking, man, that reminds me of the words of Isaiah. Isaiah said something about the Prince of Heaven. Only thing, he called him the Prince of Peace. Anybody know that Prince of Peace? Yeah, so Isaiah was talking about this, so I am going to talk about peace. And if you make it to January 1st, this is a good message. You know, this month tends to be just delightful. How do you like that confession? It's delightful. I was at a at the bank, and I had to go inside the bank and talk to this girl, and I said, isn't this a delightful month? And she's looking at me like this. She started to laugh. So say that to people, but it is delightful. So I want to talk about peace, and you know, when I think about peace, especially when my kids have four kids, they're 2 years apart, and life was just exciting. How's that? You know, these great confessions. But I can remember trying to find peace, and I would lock myself in the bathroom and turn the faucet on because I was like, I need a moment of peace. Anybody ever do that when you've got little kids? Oh, my gosh. And then as they got older, then what I'd do is I'd go, I'm cutting the lawn, Jack. And we had an acre lot, and I'd get on that riding lawnmower because I couldn't hear anybody, all right? And I wasn't looking at the house. Well, you know, when I swing around, I'd get up to the house, I'd just look the other way. And I was like, God, I'm here. I'm going to find some peace while I'm cutting the lawn. And then as I got even older and my kids are moving out, you know, I was leaving work, and I thought what I was going home to. And I thought, I'm staying in this car. This is peace. And I take the long way home. Anybody ever take the long way home? I just got to get some peace. So I want to talk about peace. And some of you might be thinking, great topic, Pastor D. What planet have you been living on? Okay. I mean, you think about the last year and a half. We had this crazy pandemic and COVID. And I don't know what they're calling the next thing that's coming around the corner. And you want peace, Pastor D. And, you know, we won't even touch on the elections and politics. And you want peace, Pastor D. And did you look at my calendar in the month of December? Let me see, office parties, kids' Christmas concert, family get-togethers, and you're talking about peace? Pastor D, what planet do you live on? Well, I do live on this planet, and really, that is the reason why I want to talk about peace, okay? Because we are living on the planet, I am on the planet, you're on the planet, where this world needs to hear about peace more than ever. More than ever, they need to know peace, hear peace, and actually walk in peace, all right? And if you want to get depressed, so don't do that, but I was just researching some things, and I was looking at the statistics in the last year and a half about anxiety and depression, and it has hit the roof. And if people weren't already in anxiety and depression, this last year, and beginning with the shutdown, just the crazy, stupidest thing that just put people over the edge. Anybody know some people over the edge? Raise your hand if you went over the edge too, all right? So it's just been really tough to find peace and walk in peace. But I am crazy enough, because I'm on the right planet though, to believe that you can walk in peace this year, you can walk in peace next year, you can walk in peace every single day. Look at your neighbor and say, you can walk in peace. Okay. Now, in order to do that, foundation, you have to know the character of God. All right? You have to know the character of God. And the character of God is love. Everybody say, God is love. He is love, and guess what? He loves you. He loves you when you have messed up. The Bible word for that is sin, but we like to say mess up. But he loves you when you mess up, and he is ready to forgive you because God is love. He is ready just to dump you with mercy because God is love. And that is the first and foremost thing that you have to understand if you're going to walk in peace. So if somebody's spazzing out, I always say, hey, baby, sit down. I want to talk to you about it because you forgot that God's character is love. All right? So first thing. So everybody say, God is love. Amen. So now I'm going to give you three things that you need to know about peace because you got your foundation. Three things. And I'm actually not going to talk too long today. I'm going to get you in and out of here. So you should say, man, that's got peace already. Praise God, Pastor D. All right. So number one, write down, peace is a presence, not a present that you wrap up with a bow on it, but a presence. Peace is a presence. Peace is a presence. And listen, we live in a world that views peace like it's out here and I can't get it. I'm trying to hold on to it and I can't reach it. And you know, the other day I was trying to go into my kitchen cupboard. I was going to make something. And I'm not the shortest one, but I'm not the tallest one. But my top shelf, I'm reaching for this jar. And the more I reached for it, I ended up by pushing it farther back. And I couldn't grab it. Yeah. So I have a little portable little stool, so I had to get that out. But listen, the world, and sometimes us, we're trying to grab peace, and it's just, I can't get it. And if I do, it's one of those slippery things that just slips out of my hand, all right? But peace is a promise, all right? So back to my song, Prince of Heaven, that really is Prince of Peace. I was just, man, I just sang that all this past week. And I was dawned on me, you know, we sing a lot of Christmas songs, and the ones that we sang today, they you know, somehow they're too wordy, Pastor D. No, look at the words, because you have to look at the words sometimes or you're going to skip what this whole Christmas songs are all about. So you all know that Jesus came for the first time as in a manger, right? We just got to see that. But actually, that was a fulfillment of a prophecy 700 years. So Isaiah had a prophecy. And back then, back in your Old Testament, God only spoke to the kings and the prophets. So y'all didn't get to hear it unless it came through the kings and the prophets. And God spoke to this prophet in 685 BC. Bible trivia for today's lunch. You can impress people. Okay, so Isaiah gives this prophecy, and it took 700 years to be fulfilled. 700 years. Some of you get to the red light, and you're like, you know, you can't even make it through the red light, and you're revving your engines. But can you imagine waiting 700 years for the fulfillment of this prophecy? That's what was going on. They were waiting 700 years. And, you know, during that 700 time, there was a little bit of things like we were going through. There was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of unrest, especially for the children of Israel, God's chosen people, especially those that lived in Jerusalem. There's some crazy things going on. Number one, the government's not delightful. How's that a good word? The government is just kind of not delightful. And then they've got wars just on the horizon, on this side, on this side, and this side, on their nation. So they've got all this unrest, and they've got all of this uncertainty. And God decides to speak to a prophet and with a message that he's saying, hey, I'm going to make things right. There is one coming that is going to get things right back where they're supposed to be. And that's what this whole message is. So turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Or they'll put it up on the screen. Or you can take notes. It's a good thing here, all right? So here, listen to this. This is the prophecy that Isaiah gives. He said, and this is, I've had 10 different Christmas cards with this one on here, so I love this. It's just a good one here. But it says this, for a child, who is that? Jesus is born to us. A son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and here's the phrase, ready? Prince of Peace. Okay, so we, of course, know the prince that was in the manger was going to be the king. And with that kingdom was going to come everlasting peace. Everybody say peace. Guess what was coming? Peace, right? So how many of you ever heard the word shalom? Okay, so shalom is an Old Testament Hebrew word. And it's got all these great meanings, just delightful. I'm going to rattle them off. Here we go. And that's that word. He's going to be the Prince of Peace, peace, shalom, wholeness, harmony, prosperity, soundness, safety, good health, favor. So that's what peace, that word means peace, okay? But on top of that, even more of that word also means to make something complete. To make something complete, to when everything is put back together. And Pastor Sherry, I was like, go girl, you're preaching my message. But just imagine you have a teenager that just got its license. Warning, warning, if you've got them coming up. And you have this driveway where there aren't enough car spaces in the garage, or else you got your garage full of stuff, okay? So you have to pull up to this little wall. You park your car next to this little wall. And your teenager, you know that one that you gave them all these instructions, gets in that car, and they are going to go to wherever, to school, whatever, and they turn on the car, they put the pedal on, and they thought they put it in reverse, and they put it in drive, and they go to the wall. Anybody ever done that? All you parents, get ready, the teenagers, okay? So, now what you have to do is take these bricks or stones and you have to put them in the place that they were before. And this is where you would say, this wall now has peace. This wall now has shalom because all the pieces are back where they're supposed to be. So you like my story, but really this is what God was doing. This is what God was doing, right? He was going, because creation just got all broken. Thank you, Adam and Eve, because of it got broken because of sin, and sin entered the world. It's broken. But here's the good news. God's going to send somebody, and his name is Jesus, right? He's going to send somebody that would bring peace. He's going to send somebody that would put all those pieces back where they're supposed to be. Because this was the promise, and the promise was peace. He promised he'd do that. Everybody say promise. Okay. So I just want to encourage you, the promise of peace that Isaiah spoke, that took 700 years to be fulfilled, that actually happened, right? That promise is the same promise today. That promise is available for you today, right? And if you've received Jesus into your life, you have that promise that lives inside of you. Amen. Promise of peace. It's a promise of peace. All right. Now, you have a promise of peace because of who lives inside of you, who was promised, who was fulfilled, and he lives inside of you. So if you have that promise of peace, you can have that promise of peace on your marriage that's just hanging by a thread. You can have that promise of peace for that kid who's just estranged. That's such a sweet word to say, because, you know, I could like to say a whole lot of things there. You can have that promise of peace when your boss, and you know they're going to start layoffs in the beginning of the year. You can have a promise of peace because of the promise. Amen? So we have a promise. It's a promise of peace. But, and I, when you listen, when I start the sentence with but, put your seatbelts on. But the problem is, I know I have this promise of peace, but we have these things called storms of life. Anybody have a storm of life last week? Anyone have a storm just getting to church this morning? Man, okay, we have these storms, okay? And these storms come to steal your peace. And they can be big storms, they can be little storms, they can be long storms, they can be short storms, and they can be, oh my God, I didn't see that storm come. Anybody have some of those happen, all right? But the storms come to do what? To steal our peace. That's the purpose of a storm. Okay, and God is not the author of storms. He only comes and gives, dishes out good things. So, but a storm's come in our life, and it's to steal our peace. So here's a question. What is your job? What are you supposed to be doing when the storms hit? Rant and rave and meh, 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 meh. You're supposed to be doing that? No. Do I do that? Getting better. No, we're not supposed to be doing that, okay? What you're supposed to be doing is holding on to peace. You're supposed to hold on to peace when you have these storms, all right? So if you want to overcome storms, if you want to be an overcomer in the storms, if you want to have peace, you are going to have to learn how to hold on to peace. You have to learn how to do it. And listen, when you learn how to hold on to peace, you know the devil's not going to know what to do with you. Like he can't, there's just so peaceful, all right? So open up to Psalm 34, Psalm 34, verse 14. Psalm 34, verse 14. You know, and actually Peter, the Apostle Peter, quotes this in 1 Peter, I think chapter 3, but I'm going to read it where he quotes it from here. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil, that's good. Do good, that's good. Listen to this. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace, and pursue it. Go after it, okay? Guys, when we finally realize that we can't, that we're not going to just have to be, I'm just standing around waiting for peace to fall in my lap. Not. When you finally realize that you can't be wishing and hoping and wishing for peace to just in your life, when you finally realize that you're crying and begging God, God, I need peace, when you finally realize that that's not going to happen because guess what? God has already given peace. He's already given peace, and if you've received him, you've given peace. And as a matter of fact, what's Galatians 5:23 say about the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, right? So you have that in you. So you stop that. So if you're doing, I have said this a long time ago, God, I need peace. These kids are driving me crazy, all right? God, I need peace. These people are a bunch of idiots. God, I need peace. Okay, not my kids, just somebody else, okay? All right, listen, God doesn't answer those prayers. Anybody find that out? And you know why? This is how you should pray. Father, be really nice. Father God, I ask you to help me walk in this peace that you already gave me. Right? He's already given this. It's a promise. It's already, Father, help me walk in this peace that's inside of me. I have peace. Everybody say, I have peace. All right. And listen, the more you believe you have that peace, the more that you access it, the more that you walk in that, you are going to drive the devil nuts. So how many want to just walk in that peace? I do. Okay. Now, if you're one of these and you are rattled by whatever's going on and you're getting upset, do you know what happens? Your mouth starts going full of junk. All right? Because you're like, oh, no, and she said that, and next thing you go, you don't understand. All this junk starts coming out of your mouth. I have been very guilty of that. And we have a little saying going on, Pastor D, smile. And when my team tells me that, it's because, okay? But listen, how many of you, just raise your hand if you believe it's possible to walk in that peace? Some of you won't think so. Okay. How many of you think it's possible to hold on to that peace? Some of you just be by faith. Put both hands up, okay? All right. Then we need to, as we read in Psalm 34, you have to pursue it. It doesn't go plop, plop in your lap, okay? You have to go after it. And you know a good way to start? You might have to study. Go open your Bible and start with love. Everything you know about love, okay? God is love. I now have God inside of me, so I am love. So I am going to love that person. I can love that person. I can walk in peace because I am going to pursue it. This is what I am determined to do. Some of you, before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, you know what's signed up for the day. You got to you're picking up kids, going to work. You just need to go, Father, I am determined that I have peace and I am going to work at peace. Because guys, storms come. Yep, praise God. Okay, let's do number two. You ready? So number one is peace is a presence. Number two, peace is a practice. Practice. Okay. Sometimes I think this one is more important than the first one. Because it's one thing to know that I have peace. It's one thing to know that it's available. It's one thing to know. But baby, it is a whole different story to practice it, right? It is. It's different, okay? And I don't know if you can relate, but to me, but I thought 2020 and even this year, there was nothing normal about the last year and a half. Nothing normal. Come on. Kids in school and people are working from home. Like, that wasn't, you know, two years ago, that was, everybody went, drove off to work. I mean, just nothing normal. And the housing market. Bananas. So I have some friends that live out of state, and I was talking to them a couple of months ago, and they decided they were going to sell their house. And they were doing this like about, they had talked about it early in 2020, and by the middle of 2020, because they had to drive, both of them, almost an hour to get to work. And they're like, you know what? I really feel very strongly that we should sell our house and move someplace closer, okay? And it wasn't, and the part of the thing is that they had teenagers now. So you think kids are little and you're busy? Put your hats on and get ready to go in your coat because they get busier. And they knew this was happening. Their kids were like preteens, so they moved. So they were going to move, and they're getting ready to put their house on the market, right? And you know when you do that, you've got to clean up and declutter, and you might even have to paint some things, all right? And he said, honest to goodness, Pastor D, this friend of mine, and he says, you know, we've lived in this house that we're putting on the market for 3 years, and we never had to replace anything. And all of a sudden, this thing breaks, cha-ching, cha-ching, and this big thing breaks, cha-ching, cha-ching, and this thing breaks, and we have to go cha-ching, cha-ching, and we're putting all this money in, and then, you know, you have to have the inspector. And he says, hey, baby, you need to replace this, cha-ching, cha-ching. So he said, you know, okay. So that was not what they really thought was going to happen. And then they've got everything ready, and moving week goes pretty good. But how many of you know moving week is stressful? And if you've lived in your house for 30 years, stay there. All right. But I would just love to say there's no stress in it, but it was a little stressful. And he said, right in the beginning, like we're moving, we're doing the moving thing, and we've got people helping and this and that. He said, I started to get a tickle in my throat, and I was like, yeah, this is what he said, yeah, it's just allergies, it's just a cold. Well, as the week went on, he was feeling rotten, and he went to the doctor. And of course, nowadays, if you make it into the doctor, what are they going to ask you to do first? Take a COVID test, right? And he tested positive. So he says, here I am in our new house for the first 2 weeks, quarantined to the basement. And he goes, oh, gosh. And he says, so I thought I kind of distanced myself with my wife in the basement. Apparently not, because his wife got COVID. Yeah. And then one out of the two kids did. Nothing really bad. But he goes, man, this was the most difficult time of my life. And this is where I'm going with the story. And I really appreciated his honesty. And it's something that we have to realize. He said, I knew at that moment that we had to discover that it's not just enough to know the promise. It's not just enough to know the promise, but you have to practice it. He said, so listen, guys, there's a moment where all stuff, nothing's good going on, okay? Things are blowing up. People are blowing up in your face. You didn't even do anything, or maybe you did something, okay? And you have to get to that place where you, from your head, I know it, to my heart, I know it, and I'm going to start practicing it, because then you're going to walk in this peace, okay? So I love the Psalms, because some days, you know, when I want to just have a pity party, I'll go read the Psalms, because David, he would write things, and usually it's the first three quarters where I can identify this dirty, rotten rat, and that person did this and that, you know, David goes at it, but at the end, he just turns it all around. So David writes Psalms, and, you know, if anybody would have had anxious moments, stressful storms, it was David, and you know what, but he would write, listen, he's writing these, and King Saul is chasing him, and he's hiding out in caves. He's got armies that are attacking all of his kingdom at one time. And then, you know, David, when he got this group of guys, his mighty guys together, one time they are so ticked at him because things didn't go the way they want. And they are just ready to throw him off the roof. And in all of that, David writes Psalms. So turn over to Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. Listen to this. It's really, you don't even have to turn over. It's just simple. Here we go. Okay, Psalm 4, verse 8. This is David. In the midst of chaos and stress and worry, he says, I will lie down in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I'm going to lie down in peace. And he's got all this stuff going on in his life. I'm going to lie down in peace. I'm like, what? All right, and then listen to this one. Psalm 127, verse 2. This is his son Solomon. And he kind of has some things going on too. Listen to this. He says, he gives his beloved sweet peace. Wow. And you may be thinking, are you kidding me, Pastor D, sweet peace? Like you've got all this chaos just swirling around, okay? But this is where you have to decide. Peace was given, and I'm going to practice it. And I will lie down in it, and I will trust the Lord. And I'm telling you, there are some nights that I go to bed, and this is swirling, and I am laying there just making all sorts of faces going, I am laying down in peace. I will trust the Lord. I have this peace. And I'm practicing it because I hopped in bed, and I'm not pacing the floor. And you know why I can do that? Because I know that the God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger than my situations, okay? And so I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go to sleep. Amen. Listen, we serve a God that never sleeps or slumbers. He's on the night patrol. God's on the night patrol for you. And you need to know that so you can say, I have peace. I'm going to lay down in peace. And I even when I can't fix this, protect this, I got God who's on night patrol. And I am one of his beloved. And I'm going to go to sleep. So, amen. Praise God. Now, let me give you a good example about this. How many of you have a favorite football team? Okay. Don't shoot the messenger, as Bill Wilson would say. But I'm going to name the top quarterbacks. The statistics say this, so it might not be your team. We got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and of course, Patrick Mahomes, okay? Sorry if your guy didn't make it. But here's the amazing thing. I'm just repeating the statistics, okay? But here's the thing. They are super accurate, these quarterbacks, these top guys. They have an arm that is torpedoes, okay? And they're also excellent leaders. These quarterbacks, but one of the best things that they do is they hang in the pocket. Pastor D, you don't know that much about football. Oh, listen, I bugged one of my son-in-laws all during a game and asked him all these questions, so I know what hanging in the pocket is, okay? I know, okay? And you know what's so amazing? And those that you don't, but I'll tell you in a minute, okay, because you know I know so much. But you know what's amazing about these quarterbacks? Amazing. They got a lineup of 250, 300, 350-pound guys that are ready to charge them. They're ready to just rip their heads off of their shoulders. They're ready just to just take them down, okay? And so let me tell you about the pocket, hanging in the pocket. Hanging in a pocket is you got the line, and you got the other line. This is your line. And you got this pocket. It's actually a space that your line is going to provide for you. And you are waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting for something to open. You're waiting for your receiver so you can throw them the ball, okay? But that's that place is the pocket, hanging in the pocket. And you know what makes these guys, it cracks me up. And I love when you watch on TV because they get the camera and they zoom in and you look at your face. While they're hanging in the pocket, they're in peace. They're in peace. They're not, you know, I would have been, because listen, that's a crazy moment. It's a chaos moment. And they know where that thing's going to end if things don't happen, all right? So the best quarterbacks have learned to have peace in the pocket. Everybody say peace in the pocket, all right? And no, it's okay. Pastor D, why is that? I already have the answer, okay? Because they have practiced that a million times. Practice that a million times and a million times, okay? And they have confidence because they have a line of big guys that are covering them. They have a line that are blocking them, okay? And they have confidence because of all of that, all right? So therefore, they have peace in the pocket. Everybody say peace in the pocket, all right? So I want to encourage you to be quarterbacks. And listen, you don't have to have a perfect life. You don't have to have everything all together, alrighty? But you can have peace in the pocket. You can have peace in the chaos. You can have peace in the storms, all right? And number one, you can have it because we have this promise. We have this promise of peace because we know God's on our side, right? If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to have peace. So we can have peace in the pocket. And you have to practice it. And sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, there is no way. There isn't even a path to get over there. And you just got to go, wait a minute. My God is big enough. I have peace. He goes before me, behind me, surround me. So I'm going to have peace. I am determined I'm going to have peace. And then I'll have some people say, smile, Pastor D. All right. So peace is a promise and peace is a practice. Praise God. Number three, and we're going to wrap up. Here we go. Peace is a person. Peace is a person, all righty? Now, if you look around the world, and sometimes you look at yourselves and everybody else here, we try to pursue peace in all the wrong places. Yep. Some people pursue peace with vices. They've got drug addictions and alcoholism and even pornography, and they're just pursuing it in all the wrong places. And I will tell you, that doesn't end well, okay? And it just doesn't end well. So peace, looking for peace in all the wrong places. Sounds like a country song, right? Someone one of those? Yeah? Okay. So maybe you're not one of those that is pursuing peace in all the wrong places, but maybe yours is disguised with things that aren't so bad. You know, sometimes, I don't do that. Well, maybe you do some things that aren't so bad, such as you have convinced yourself that if I could get in that relationship, or if I dated that person, or if I was married to that person, then I'd have peace. Not. Probably not. Or maybe you've convinced yourself, like, if I work this job, if I had this career, if I made this much money, if I had this salary, then I'd have peace. Or this one I love, you know, if the person I voted for or the political party that I am, if they got into office, then I'll have peace. Not. Everybody go, not. not, all right? So here's the thing you have to understand. Jesus does not measure peace the way the world does. He doesn't do, you know, if I had this, I had that. He doesn't measure peace, okay? Listen to what he says in John chapter 14. John 14. John 14, verse 27. Peace, okay, he's with his 12, and he knows in just hours he was going to go die on a cross for mankind. And these are his words to people. And they're not just for the 12, they're for us. He goes, listen, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be spazzed out, troubled, stressed, and not afraid. Okay, so what he's saying is, I have a different kind of peace. I have a different kind of peace, and you can search all over for everything the world says, and I'm telling you, it's probably not going to work, but I have a different kind of peace, okay? I have something that you don't have to put in your mouth, put on your brain, okay? I have a peace, and it's a peace that you're not going to find at a political party. It's not in a program. Shoo, it's not in a pill, and it's not binging Netflix, okay? There's not peace there, and he's saying, the peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Everybody say, peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. All right. Just one more scripture, Ephesians 2:14. I'm just going to read the first part. And he says this, for he himself, he's talking about Jesus, for he himself is peace. Okay? He is our peace. He is our peace. So it's not, Jesus isn't just... Jesus isn't just peace, he's our peace. He's our peace. He is peace, but he's our peace, okay? And peace, the way the world offers it, will last a short time. But it really isn't going to satisfy you. And there's only one person that you will wake up with peace, you'll go to bed with peace, you'll have kids with all over the place, and you can have peace, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Now, think about this. I just want to tell you one more story. There's this person in the Bible who I think had a pretty crazy year, and her name is Mary. Everybody remember Mary? Mary was a teenager. She was minding her own business. She loved God. And one day, this angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. I'm like, are you kidding me? Right? So the angel shows up and he says, hey, you're going to become pregnant and not with the guy you're engaged to. Like, that'll twist your head a little bit, righty? And you're also going to, you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. Awkward. Whoa. What? Right? That's probably kind of intense there. And if you've never watched it, I'm sure this show called Teen Mom, this was the pilot show. This teenager, right? What do you think she's thinking, all right? So on top of all that, it's probably been a rough year because she's going to start showing. And people are like, what? What? And they're talking behind her back and just probably saying not nice things. And then can you imagine the conversation she had to have with her fiancé, Joseph? Hey, Joseph, I've got big news for you. Oh, what? Did someone give us a washer and dryer? No, baby. I am pregnant. Who's the father? Oh, God the Father. I'm pregnant with the Son of God, Jesus. I mean, just crazy conversation. And to top off that year, there's a census going on. And Mary and Joseph have to travel from where they are to Bethlehem, 90 miles away on a donkey. Pregnant. Trimester, big, ready to pop. And you think you've had a tough year? Do you think she could be a little anxious, a little awkward, a little maybe even depressed? All the things that are going on in her life, all these things along on life. And then they've made these reservations to a hotel, and Travelocity just botches it all up, and they end up at a sketchy Airbnb, Fleur de Flat. We have stayed in some sketchy ones, okay? So in this sketchy place is where she's going to give birth, in a manger, in a stable, in a town outside in Bethlehem. All right. So, you know what's so incredible about this lady and this whole story is you never read where she is anxious, spazzed out of peace. You never read one moment where she's like that. And you know, this is me, but I am thoroughly convinced that that she knew that she was carrying the person of peace. And that is why she could do it. So I think all of us can relate to that, because I don't care what storm you go, I don't care how bad your family reunion's looking like and all the things you have to do, all right? The thing is, you can carry the Prince of Peace. You can carry the Prince of Peace. Amen. And he's inside of you if you've asked Jesus into your life. He's inside of you, all right? So everybody say, peace is a person. All right. So this is where I'm going to kind of wrap up here. You have to know that there is a presence of peace, a practice of peace, and really you have to know the person. And until you know the person, well, we'll be praying for you up front. Okay, I'll get the phone call. You have to know that, all right? So I want to ask this question. Do you remember, this is for everybody, do you remember a time where you had a connection with this Prince of Peace, this Jesus, all right? Because, you know, you can look for peace. And I lived about 21 years looking for peace in all the wrong places, all right? And I found out it doesn't deliver. The world will say, hey, you can try this and you can do this and you can go sit on a beach in the Caribbean. But someday you got to get off that beach and you still haven't found peace, all right? So I'm going to read this. Can you put that the words up to that song? I'm just going to read this song. The song, Prince of Heaven. I love the words. We can know him, this Prince of Peace. In the light of mercy, confess your sins and lay your burdens at his feet and with gladness sing. So if you're here today, I'd like to invite you to the Prince of Peace. Amen. Okay. And I'm really not asking you, have you been to church? Are you a member of church? I'm not even asking if you've been baptized or confirmed. Those are all kind of good things, okay? But all of that stuff is not the connection where you have the Prince of Peace inside of you. And I'm asking you, would you like to receive this Prince of Peace? His name is Jesus. And Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through and by me. He also says, I am the door and I am the gate. And I'm telling you, the world tells you there's all sorts of doors and gates, but there is no other one except for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So I want to invite anybody, if you've never made this decision, I want to invite you to receive the Prince of Peace. And it's really not hard. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says if you would believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you would have salvation, okay? You would have that salvation. Actually, you would be rescued into eternity. Praise God. I like being rescued. And you know, the thing about salvation, that receiving that, is that it's a salvation that yes, you have everlasting life and someday heaven's my home, but it's also this life that helps you through life while you're here. It's something that just God desires to help you with your relationships. He desires to help you on your job. He desires to help you in every part of your life and to be that peace. So this is the only thing. You have to give him permission. You have to give him permission to come into your life, okay? It's not like when I was a mama and I made my kids. You will eat your vegetables. You will go to your bed at such and such time. I would make them. God's not like that. You have to give him permission, okay? And you have to give him permission to be your Lord and Savior, to make him be the driver in the front seat, okay? So if you are here and you can't remember a time where you've said, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? I'd like to pray for you. And I know so many of you have. Some of you I've known for a long time. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago and you've just gotten far, 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 farther away from him. That's okay. God's going, come on back. Just come on back. So I want to lead in a prayer. And I'd like you to say this, say it from your heart. It's not a magic thing, abracadabra or something like that. But when you say this from your heart, God will do something, a work on the inside. And you will be a child of God. Hallelujah. You'll have this peace inside of you that passes all understanding. Praise God. So why don't we all just pray this out loud? If you're praying this for the first time, you know, pray it from your heart. Pray it like you mean it. Obviously, Pastor D, okay? And if you're praying this because you've just kind of drifted, just say, you know, Lord, I'm back, all right? So everybody say, Lord God, thank you for the Prince of Heaven. Thank you for this peace through Jesus. Amen. And Jesus, I thank you that you died for me and the world. And today I ask you to come into my life, to come into my heart. And I confess you as my Savior, my Lord. And I will follow you all the days of my life. I'm now a child of God, and I'm going to tell everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed this prayer, I would love to know. Number one, I'd like to give you a Bible. Sorry, I don't have $1 million to dish out today, but I tell you that Bible's worth $1 million. And it'll tell you who your Father is. It'll tell you who you are now. And it'll tell you how to walk this life the way that God's already called you to do. So we've got Bibles for you. And just, you know, so please come up and let me know. Other than that, have a Merry Christmas. Have peace. Go in peace, right? Amen. And hang out and drink some coffee and say hi to everybody. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Oh, and if you'd like prayer, my gosh, I'll pray with you. I'm a good prayer. Come on up front.